You turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, please. Luke chapter 3. We will continue looking at Advent, our Advent scriptures. And today we're in the book of Luke chapter 3. I don't know if you've ever noticed when you are traveling north on Route 15, going from Gordonsville into the town of Orange, there's a stretch of road just before you get into Orange, heading northbound, that kind of dips and goes up and down, You know, it's just kind of nice. But then if you go southbound, it's flat. You know, it's really strange. I mean, the northbound road goes like this. The southbound road is straight, and it's kind of odd. Well, why is it like that? And the reason why it's like that is because when Route 15 was just a two-lane road, it was the northbound road. And as they built it, you know, it just followed the terrain of the road. But then when they made it a four-lane highway, and it's a divided highway, when they made it a four-lane highway, they made the southbound road the extra two, and it's just a straight shot. They flattened out all the hills and the valleys and just made it a straight driving. You check it out next time you go up to Orange. And that is that image is in our scripture here this morning in Luke chapter 3. So let's look at it. Just going to read a couple verses here, 1 through 6. And before we do, let's pray. All right? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to open up your word and allow you to speak to us through your word. Lord, my prayer is that you would open all of our eyes and our ears this morning that we might see, hear, and understand the truth that you have for us. Lord, my personal prayer is that my words do not get in the way of your truth. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says this. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And John, this is John the Baptist, went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, which says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. And so here's Luke as he's beginning to tell the story of Jesus, quoting out of the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is talking about how one day God is going to send a Messiah, a rescuer, to save his people. And Isaiah uses the imagery here of a king coming to visit a city. Now, in ancient times, whenever the king was going to visit your city, they would send emissaries or representatives on ahead of the city to get everybody prepared, prepare the roads, clear out the roads, make everything smooth for a visit. We know what that's like, right? Whenever the president visits our city, you know, somebody calls ahead, security is planned, they map out a route, and he comes in a motorcade. It's the same sort of thing. And so in telling the story of Jesus, Luke's picture is this. King Jesus is coming. John the Baptist is his messenger telling everybody, get ready. Get ready because King Jesus is coming. Now, I don't know how it is at your house, But whenever company is coming over to my house, there is a massive overhaul that goes on. Diana loves to keep a neat and tidy and clean home, but she was cursed with marrying me. I'm the opposite, right? And she'll tell you, I'm the opposite, right? So when people are coming over, she will go into deep cleaning and get everything straightened up mode. And I've learned from years of being told, put my coat away. You know, don't leave it hanging on the chair. Put your shoes away, not in the middle of the floor, right? The kitchen table cannot be a catch-all for my keys and wallet and everything, right? Put your dishes in the dishwasher, that sort of thing. Because company is coming over. And this is what Advent is all about. Company is coming. Company is coming, and we are to prepare for company come. We are to prepare to fully experience Jesus this Christmas season. We don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to I got to buy for this and that. This is God came to earth as a human being for us. We want to be able to experience that to the fullest, right? Not only that, but Jesus is coming back a second time, he tells us. And so we want to be prepared in the way that we are living our lives so that when Jesus comes and he says he doesn't, you know, it's going to be like that, that we want to be ready and we want to be prepared. And so when the scripture says, prepare the way for the Lord, okay, how do we do that? How do we make straight paths for him? What is it that we need to do? Now, I think there are, you know, four ways that we can pave the way for Jesus to come into our lives this Advent season. He begins by saying, every valley is filled in. A couple months ago, Diana and I had the opportunity to visit Zion National Park in Utah, and I had the chance to walk through the Virgin River Canyon, and it was incredible. Mark, put that first picture up there. That was a trail. That's a trail, actually, okay? And so there were points that canyon was only 20 feet wide and 1,000 feet high. The cliffs were 1,000 feet high, so you have this incredible canyon. Now, when you go hike on this, there was all kind of warnings. Put the next picture up there. There's a warning that said, you got to be careful. We can't just go anytime. There could be rain hundreds of miles away, and there could be flash flood. The canyon fills, and people die, right? So there's all kind of warnings. When I was there, there were people walking around with waders on. There's an outfitter that would supply you with waders, a big walking stick, high top boots, you know. And I'm thinking, and I went there, it's like I was interested. I wanted to do this hike. Like, you know, then I start seeing all this, I'm kind of going, whoa. I looked online, all these warnings, you got to be careful, you know. So I was like, man, I don't want to spend my money outfitters and looking goofy like that. They did look goofy. So what I did is I went to a park ranger. And I said, hey, man, I said, how high does the water get there? Do I need to buy all that stuff? You know, can I just, I got hiking pants on. I don't mind if they get wet. And I got hiking boots that I can get, you know. And he just said, I've never bought that stuff. So, oh, really? So, you know, I had my hiking poles. I had all my equipment. And I talked to the ranger and I start thinking in my mind, you know, I think I can do this. It's not going to be that big of a deal. You know, the water's not that cold, you know. And so there's a next picture. I did it. All right. So it was the most awesome hike I've ever been on. It was incredible. I used to do that sort of stuff when I was young. Anybody ever walk the creek when you were young? Okay. I did that in the midst of a canyon. So I was reliving my younger years. Because I talked to people and because I had all the equipment, I believed and I had faith then that I could do that hike. And it was fantastic. Sometimes as we go through life, life throws us a joker, right? Life kicks us into a valley, into a ravine, and we go through valleys of cancer or health issue or job loss or financial strain or relationship problems, social issues that we have to deal with in our country. And we must walk through these valleys and these canyons. And so as we prepare for Jesus this season, when Scripture says that every valley is filled in, we fill in those valleys with trust and faith. We fill in those valleys with trust and faith. We trust as we go through that valley that God will do what He says He's going to do, and we live as faithful people. Our response is to trust God and maintain our faith. We continue to believe. We continue, hear me on this, we continue to follow Jesus regardless of the situation that we find ourselves in. Now, one of the things that helps us to do that is to take Scripture to heart and to memorize Scripture. Now, I know old people don't like to hear that word memorize. None of us like to hear that word memorize, right? But here, we need to remember those promises, right? You need to know that no matter what valley you walk through, you are a child of God. Amen. No matter how you've gone, whatever valley you're in, you're a child of God. God loves you. God cares about you. God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. That helps us to get through. When we trust and have faith, we begin to fill in those valleys. And then the Scripture says, every mountain and hill made low. I like to think of the mountains here not as something that we have to overcome, but as something in our lives that we need to tear down so that Jesus can more easily come to us. And so mountains here in this case represent our own successes, our own accomplishments, our own achievements, our own pride. You know what? As we get older, there's a tendency for us to start thinking that we have life all figured out. We've been around the block. Okay, we kind of know how to do things. We've the name, seasoned citizens, right? Some of you, many of you, more seasoned than I am. We're seasoned citizens. And so sometimes we think, and sometimes we live our lives with the sense that we got things, we're good down here. We don't really need God. Oh, we say that we need God because we're good church-going people. Of course. Do you need God? Yes, of course I need God. But in reality, we only turn to God in case of emergencies. And even in our relationship with God, and even in the way that we think, sometimes we just think, well, we automatically know what God wants. What does God want? God wants me to sin less. God wants me to do good, wants me to help people, wants me to go to church every once in a while, put some money in the offering basket, you know, and we're confident then that we're just going to heaven. And so a lot of it, we're just kind of riding things out, and our faith becomes very, very routine. And that can be a barrier to a deep relationship with Jesus. And we bring mountains low with humility. The second point, we bring mountains low with humility. Now, how do we get humility? We confess and we repent every day. This is something that we should do every day. And it's we are crying out to God, God, I need you. We start off our day saying, I need you. And then we take steps to accumulate habits in our lives that will be more welcoming to Jesus throughout the day. It's one of the things we've been studying in our midweek Bible study. The different practices that we perform, we make them a part of our lives, like serving and observing Sabbath and prayer and solitude and generosity and reading Scripture, studying Scripture. We make that a regular part of our lives. And these things then become an antidote to pride and the thinking that we have arrived. And it tears down those mountains. And then it says, the crooked roads shall become straight. You know, whenever I go hiking in Shenandoah National Park, I always see this picture. The blaze on a tree, right? That tells you where the trail is. Now, from time to time, I'll see this picture. Anybody know what two blazes mean? Almost. Y'all need to get out and do more hiking. That's the first thing I'm telling you. You need to do more hiking. What the double blaze means is that there's a turn in the trail, significant turn in the trail. Whether it's a switchback or, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of crooked trails in Shenandoah National Park, okay? And sometimes you'd be walking along, and I've had it encountered it before, and it's like, whoa, it kind of looks like a trail going up in the woods. And turns out that's the trail that people didn't know where to go, and they did it enough times to start looking like a trail. But in reality, the trail crosses the creek. So you get this double blaze that tells you, you look, oh, there's the next blaze on the next tree. That's where we're supposed to go. And so, you know, there's lots of crooked trails when you go hiking. And it just keeps you on the trail. You know, as you look back on your life, you got a lot of crookedness. How many is a crooked? Has a crooked path in your life of traveling in your relationship with Jesus. I do. I love it when people come into my office and I learn about them and I ask them to share their testimony about how they come to know Jesus and how they wound up at Beaver Dam. And on more than one occasion, people have shared the story. Well, I grew up in the church and I got saved and then I went off to college. It's like, and then, you know, kind of, whoop, you know, went off the trail a little bit, right? And that happens. That happens to a lot of people. And it could be, you know, decisions made in college years or divorce or severe health issue or a time when we just made bad choices and it led us off that path of faith that God has for us. Listen, when we look back, we all have crooked roads on our faith journey. Okay? And we straighten the crooked roads by nurturing our faith. By nurturing our faith. When I was in seminary, I had two other friends of mine, and we, from time to time, would take a guy's road trip. And we would go to these baseball stadiums. And one time I remember we went up and went to Chicago and then up in Milwaukee. So we saw the Cubs play, the White Sox play, Milwaukee Brewers. Man, it was great. We saw a bunch of games in a weekend. And so we're heading home late Sunday night. We're heading home and we're just driving in the car, having a good time, recounting. Oh, remember what he did? Oh, it was so awesome. And all of a sudden somebody looked up at the sign and it said, South Bend, Indiana, 20 miles. We're like, what? And here we're going east when we should have been going south. And we missed the 65 turnoff to go down to Indianapolis and then on to Louisville. And we're like, you know, and we just lost it. We got caught up in the excitement of just what we were doing. We didn't pay attention to the important matter of how we were going to get home. And when we don't pay attention, and when we don't stay alert and nurture our faith and our relationship with God, it's really easy for us to get off the path that God has for us. It's just really easy. And then you know what happens? We find ourselves wandering in the wrong direction. Oh, we're not lost. I know right where I'm at. We're, you know? And then we realize all of a sudden, like the story of the prodigal son, we come to our senses and we realize, oh my gosh, what that crooked road behind us. But when we read, hear me again on this, when we read Scripture every day, when we spend time, I sound like a broken record, don't I? Do I sound like a broken record? Go ahead and raise your hand. All right? Folks, nothing beats this. Oh, you expect the pastor to say that. Please, all right? When you read Scripture every day, spend time in prayer and stop and just listen to God and allow Him to direct you. When you make a commitment to come to worship with God's people and worship the Creator of the universe every week, guess what? We straighten out that path of our relationship with God. We straighten it out. Then the fourth part of the scripture is this. The rough ways smooth, scripture says. Whenever I'm hiking, my most favorite surface, my most favorite area to hike in is one with pine trees. You know why? Because those pine needles fall on the trail and it's like walking on air. It is wonderful. It's like walking on rubber. It's great. I mean, I visibly will just kind of go, oh, this is nice. You know, I like where I am, you know. But the fact of the matter is, most of the trails, when I hiked that trail in Utah, it was a river. And so for like 4 miles, I'm walking on rocks the whole time. I mean, it was rugged. The whole next day, my ankles were incredibly sore. Most of the hikes in Shenandoah National Park are rocky. Right? Rocky and mountainous. And whenever I'm coming down, man, some people fly down that. Oh, I can't do that anymore. I got to go slow. Because my ankles will turn in an instant. And, man, so when I'm coming down, I am slow and deliberate and purposeful. It is not a race. And our Christian walk is the same way. It is not a race. It is not a sprint. In our faith, from time to time, and actually pretty often, we will encounter rough patches, uneven patches. Sometimes it's the whole trail that we're on. And we smooth those rough patches with patience and perseverance. Patience and perseverance. Folks, I want to remind you that the Christian life is not filled with miracles that happen every day. You know, oh, God did this. It's so awesome. Not every day is happy and incredible. You can read Christian books and see movies and watch TV preachers, and they will tell you if you just do this, 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 and this, you will be happy and God will bless you and you're not going to have any problems. But I'm here to tell you the majority of the Christian life, hear me, the majority of the Christian life is trudging on, putting one step in front of the other like coming down a rocky trail. Eugene Peterson said this, that the Christian life is a long obedience in the same direction. And patience and perseverance paves a rough way for Jesus to come to us this Advent season. Now, let me end with some encouraging news, okay? In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is talking about a construction project that is going on in the people that he shared the gospel with and started a church with in Philippi. People who he introduced to Jesus. And here's what he said, Philippians chapter 1. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so we're talking about this construction project of preparing a way, paving a way for Jesus this Advent. Paul is reminding us three things about this construction project. Number one, this construction project is initiated by God. He's the one who started it. He's the one that began a good work in you. Folks, you weren't the one who decided to become a Christian and follow Jesus. It was God who started it in you. He's the one that drew you towards Him. Okay? He started it. If he started it, he says he's going to finish it. Number two, it will be completed by God. He will see that his work is done. He will see it through. And so, if you find yourself off on the crooked trail somewhere, don't beat yourself up. Okay? God's going to see you through. God's going to make sure you get back to being where you need to be. If you realize you're in a bad spot, you confess, repent, get back up on the horse, get back on the trail, find out where you're going to go, and get straightened out. Okay? But God didn't give it. He's going to see you through. And then the third one that Paul mentions is that this works best in Christian community. We partner with God, but Paul also says here, this is a partnership between him and the Philippians. We partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ in this welcoming, in this paving a way of Jesus. It's not just me. We are working together. The Christian faith and following Jesus is worked out best with community, in community. That's why I am often inviting you as you come to this place. I say, hey, don't just come here and leave. Don't just stay here for an hour and then leave. What do I say? Come early. Get to know the people. Stay late. Get to know the people. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. Come to fellowship time. Come to Bible study. Become part of a serving team some way. Because, let me tell you, church family is awesome. Amen. They are messed up people, but they are awesome. Okay? We got problems, but we got Jesus. Amen. And we partner with Jesus and we partner with one another. And when we do that, this helps to bring about God's plan. Now, I was thinking about this week. And I want this to be a reminder whenever you're out and you see this group. You can see the background picture there. God is a lot like VDOT. Okay? God is a lot like Virginia Department of Transportation. And he wants to do a construction project in our neighborhood. All right? And like VDOT, okay, God is the one who starts the project. He's the one that decides what needs to be done. He's the one that funds the project. He provides all the equipment, the guidance, and the engineering, right? VDOT does all that. But you know what? VDOT doesn't get the work done unless there's human beings actually doing it. And so the workers are us, or actually the citizens of Virginia. So it's VDOT and people working together. God works with us to accomplish what he wants done in our lives. God just doesn't magically do it, right? God just doesn't, I want to make them more like Jesus. He doesn't do it that way. And all of us just trying to work on, trying the hardest on our own to do it, to become and change and be better, that doesn't work either. We need a partnership. God works with us. We work with God. And so might we make a straight path for Jesus to come into our lives this Advent season. Would you bow your heads with me, please? And in this time of silence, I want to give God an opportunity to just speak to you. I want to give you an opportunity to hear God speak to you about what you need to do to prepare. Is there a sin you need to confess, or a promise to claim, or an attitude to change, or a command to obey? Just take some time and listen to God. Father God, we thank you for the construction project which you have begun in us. And we thank you that you are working with us on a goal to welcome Jesus, to become more like him. And so, Father, we repent. for the times when we do not take our faith seriously. Lord, would you show us the steps that we need to take to revitalize our faith? Lord, we ask that you would spur something on inside of us. Give us the courage and the strength to carry it out, that we might experience Jesus to the full this Advent season. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.